Worship tonight, Lord. Thank you for those that came. Thank you for those that battled traffic and wind and rain, Father God, to be here. Father God, I pray that anybody that's in crisis right now, Lord, anybody that's just going through trials right now, and indecisions, anyone that's on one of those long flights, Father God, that doesn't seem like it's ever going to end, I pray, Father God, that just for the next hour or so, Lord, you just bring them peace, Father God, so that they can forget, Lord, about their problems just long enough to receive the word. I pray those with money concerns, health concerns, medical issues, personality issues. You said somebody to somebody, you offended somebody, you lied to somebody. There's a problem going on you're worried about. You're getting evicted from your apartment, or you're worried about your phone being disconnected. Can't find a job, can't pay the rent, can't buy food. Father God, just we lay all of these burdens, Lord, at your feet, Lord, at the foot of the cross, because we don't want to carry them. We can't carry them, Father God. We have full faith in you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you so much. Thank you very much, everybody, for coming. I really appreciate it. It's kind of nice to have, you know, I like Bible study because it's really more intimate, you know, than anything. I really like that, you know. Even you can hear the kids screaming in the background. Does anybody have any praise requests, like something that just completely, like you just know that came from Jesus Christ? Something that you know is a testimony from God? Something that happened in your life this week that you just know was from Jesus. It's been a long flight for everybody, huh? I know. You know, sometimes like it's so hard to find testimonies. You have one?
My CJ? My hardest thing is picking out like a single thing.
That's a good thing, CJ. You know, we need some uplifting testimony. What do you got?
I don't know. I would say just my attitude. I'm able to stay positive, even though a lot of times things aren't going my way. I mean, I just, you know, just keep things going forward. I mean, that's the only direction I'm going to allow things to go. And
amen. You know. Amen, amen, amen. Miss, do you have a...
I have one.
Amen.
Sweet. A blessing. But like last week I was not feeling so great about decisions I was making and stuff, and I realized that I was like praying to God, like doing what I needed to do, but I wasn't like talking to him directly about things that I really needed guidance on.
Yep.
And when I stopped to actually like talk to him and get his advice and just really like make sure that I'm doing God's will.
Amen.
He really changed a situation around for me that I was feeling really bad about, and so I think that sometimes I forget to talk to him, and just it amazes me how much better I feel after I do.
Amen. Amen. That is such a good testimony. Yeah, I totally feel what you're talking about. You know, I really do. Like, you know, I'm going through a trial right now, a really bad one. And it's funny, I look back at all the different times God's bailed me out of my trials and all the things I've learned from them. And I feel so ashamed that I'm worried and concerned because I know God has my back. But when you're in the trial, it's always more difficult than the one you got out of. You know, and you're always, there's this little doubt in the back of your mind. Am I going to survive this one? You know, am I going to survive this one? You know, and I think back of all the testimonies and all the wonderful things God's done in my life. I'm so ashamed that I feel, you know, concerned, you know, about it. But, you know, what it really boils down to is obeying God's word. And that's what we're going to teach on tonight, is obeying God's word. This is a really important sermon that, you know, I prepared that is really, really powerful. It's when you're going through trial, it's when you're worried, it's when you're concerned, it's when you got all these things going on, all this uncertainty. We have to come back. You know, we have to come back to the basic word of keeping our eyes on Jesus. You know, after what happened on the bank of the Jordan River and at the walls of Jericho, you know, it seemed for a long period of time that nothing could stop the Israelites. They were on fire. People heard what was happening with Israel. People heard about the Ark of the Covenant. People heard about all the battles they were winning. And I mean, people were terrified of Israel. Israel had it going on. They were anointed by God and they were winning all of these battles in the Old Testament. Okay? And that air of invincibility melted away as quickly as it was established. That ability to get beaten down was completely melted away because they took a beating against Ai that was so bad. And their spies, Israel's spies, had told them they would be able to beat the city with a few thousand soldiers. Let's go to Joshua chapter 7, verses 2 through 5. And by the way, the name of the ancient biblical city of Ai means ruins. It means ruins, because that's what it was. It was ruins. They took a beating. Israel got beaten bad. Bad. So tell me, who's got Joshua chapter 7, verses 2 through 5? Joshua chapter 7, verses 2 through 5. They were unstoppable. And then, all of a sudden, this happened. Go ahead. AI. Just AI.
Which is beside Bethlehem on the east side of Bethel, and spoke to them, saying, "Go up and spy on the country." So the men went up and spied out AI. And they returned to Joshua and said to him, "Do not let all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and attack AI. Do not weary all the people there, for the people of AI are few." So about 3,000 men went up there from people, but they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai struck down with 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate as far as Shebarim, and struck them down on the descent. Therefore, the hearts of the people melted and became like water.
Amen. It was one of the royal cities of the inhabitants of Canaan. Prior to the invasion of Israel, I mean, after the conquest of Canaan was complete, the city of Ai was rebuilt and inhabited by the Benjamite tribe of Israel. Joshua and the elders of Israel were distraught over what happened. Joshua actually fell on his face before God and all the elders and said, "Oh, sovereign Lord, why did you bring us across the Jordan River if you're going to let the Amorites kill us? If only we had been content to stay on the other side, Lord. What can I say now that Israel has fled from its enemies? For when the Canaanites and all the other people living in the land hear about it, they will surround us and wipe our name off the face of the earth. And then what will happen to the honor of your great name?" The problem was spelled out in the first two verses of Joshua chapter 7. A man named Achan had stolen and kept for himself some of the things God had said were to be set apart for him and only him alone. And because one man had violated God's commands, because one man didn't keep his eyes on obeying God's word, it was just the entire nation of Israel had violated his commands. And God commanded Joshua to get up, told him that the problem was that someone had broken in his covenant by stealing and then lying about it. God then told Joshua that in order to set things back on track, the people would have to purify themselves and make things right again. So after going through this process of elimination, Joshua finally discovers that it was Achan who had caused the problems for the Israelites. He had stolen a beautiful robe, 200 silver coins, and a 1 pound gold bar and hidden them in his tent, all belonging to the Lord. I mean, 1 pound of gold today would be worth a lot of money. And back then it was worth a lot of money too. Obedience to God is the practical acceptance of the authority and will of God. It includes both submitting to him and then expressing that submission in actions, words, and thoughts. To be obedient is to be in agreement with God. To be in agreement with God is to be in a position of power in Christ. Disobedience is caused by rebellion and distrust in God. To be disobedient is to yield to self-will instead of surrendering, you know, to God and desiring his will in all things. You know, Matthew, the tax collector, said it best in chapter 22, verses 36 through 38. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment of the law? And Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with your entire mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. In John chapter 14, verse 23, Jesus answered and said, if a man loves me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come into him and make our abode with him. Hearing and obeying is essential in many different areas in our lives. For example, if children fail to listen to parents tell them about the dangers of running into the street and do it anyway, they're going to run into cars and they're going to get killed. You know, if a driver who knows about the seatbelt laws, knows how dangerous it is, you know, starts driving around Seattle without wearing a seatbelt, you know, they are basically taking a risk, you know, that they're going to get into an accident and they're going to die. You know what I mean? You know, a workman who like is on the job working in some sort of like acidic environment. Say he's like making, I don't know, like medical stuff the gym sells. You know, I envision them making this stuff in like a lab or something. And he doesn't wear the proper eye stuff or the clothing and he spills some acid on his face. You know, he's going to lose his eyes. He's going to lose, you know, maybe a limb. Okay? We know that in all these areas, what is required is not only hearing, but obeying. You know, I mean, I'm always worried about like, what's going on? You know, like what is really, why am I going through this trial? Why are these horrible things happening to me? You know, why isn't everything falling into place? You know, don't I deserve it, Lord? You know, haven't I been faithful? But then when I start thinking like, you know, in my life, my recent life of like the past month, have I really been obeying God's word? Have I really been in submission to God? Or have I been trying, you know, to do things on my own? You know, have I been trying to make things happen on my own? Have I been trying to make my business successful on my own? Have I been trying to make my ministry grow on my own? Or have I really submitted to God and allowed God to work, you know? That is important. That is why, you know, we have to obey the rules. And that is why it's important that we listen to God. And it's important that we listen to the voice of our shepherd. You know, if you are willing and obedient, you will eat the best from the land, Isaiah said. Okay? You know, God intends his word to not only be heard, but heard and obeyed. I mean, have you ever wanted to break the rules? Yeah. I mean, have you ever wanted to swim against the current that other Christians swim against? It's like, how am I going to get anywhere if I follow the rules? All of my competitors in the marketplace, all of my competitors are lying. In the dot-com world, they lie. They lie and lie and lie and lie. And they polluted the marketplace so bad, you know, they don't even, the poor client doesn't even know how to get business on the internet anymore. You know, I mean, I know, how many times have you said to yourself, I know what is right, but I just want to break the rules a little bit because I feel like I'm due. You know, I know that I've tried to do the wrong things so many times, and I end up in the end, when I look back on my life, you know, it's just like those, you know, mistakes you've made, you know, like when I was younger, I used to have a bad habit of picking the wrong friends, you know, guys who would get me into trouble, you know, but it was so fun. You know what I mean? I'd hang out with these dudes because it was like, you know, they would drink with me and, you know, they go to the scummy little bars, you know, and in Anchorage, and I'm talking about the bars way down on that aren't even on the roadmap, and you know, and we'd go and you know, camp for days and weeks, and you know, you're hanging buddies, you know, and it's, but I knew when I was getting into those that it was trouble, but I went for it anyway because it was such a good time, you know. And I look back at mistakes I've made with businesses and people that I've went into business with, and every single time the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and I knew it was wrong, but I did it anyway. And I want to think so bad, and I was even willing to change the rules, lower my standards, and disobey God's course, you know. And God loves us so much. I mean, God loves us so much. And when you love God, you will obey Him. And that's why I want to talk about obeying God's word tonight, because it's really, really important. You know, obedience, I mean, the outward expression of obedience is expressing your love for God. And when you walk in obedience, no one can question, you know, the character of your motives. I mean, you can't, your motives cannot be questioned at all. I mean, you don't have to worry about nothing. I mean, you know, I quit questioning Neil and Mary Jo's motives for why they do stuff, because their spiritual interpretation is so far beyond my reach. I could see it, but I'm not living it. You know, I'm anointed enough to understand what it means, but I'm not. Either I'm scared to go there because I know that it requires me to wash off additional sin out of my life that I'm not ready to get out of my life, you know? And or I'm just not mature enough of a Christian to be able to interpret, you know, that deep of an obedience to God. But we all have people that we know in church or in our walk with Christ that are obedient to God, and they walk in the ways of the Lord. And, you know, I look at all these people, and it seems like they glow, whether the sun's shining or it's raining. It could be snowing in the middle of a hailstorm, and you can still see, you can still recognize the glow, you know. I could recognize Pastor Da's glow from a distance in the dark, you know, because it's just the same glow. It's a consistent, unwavering obedience. And to remain, you know, I mean, obedience means doing what is commanded. I mean, if you obey the will of God, you're telling God in an outward expression that you love Him, you know. So let's go to 2 John chapter 16. 2 John chapter 16. CJ, you want to get this? 2 John chapter 16. 2 John chapter 16 is a perfect, perfect verse for this. Poor CJ. I used to do it that way. I know, I used to do it that way. That's because that Bible's been used. I've cried over that Bible many times, I'll tell you. Who's got it? 2 John 16? 2 John chapter 16? Baby girl, I can't believe you don't have 2 John chapter 16.
I don't see it. Why am I...
You have got to be kidding me.
Okay,
I'm going to count to five silently in my head, and then I'm going to do it.
And then it goes to the... I don't like this Bible. It's not me, it's this Bible. Something's going on with it.
Okay, I've got it.
Okay.
What is it?
2 John 16.
Okay. Oh, wait. 2
John? It only goes to 13.
It's not...
2 John only goes to 13?
Mm-hmm. It wasn't me. I'm like, it's my Bible.
Did I write it down wrong? Okay. This is why I'm supposed to edit these, but I'm not. Okay, and this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. Which one's that?
Not 2 John 16.
Okay. Somewhere in 2 John it says, and this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. Have you have heard from the beginning, his command is that you walk in love. This means you have dropped the self-centered mindset and are ready to accept God's plan for your life. Many of us get stuck in our own plan, or worse, we get pulled off of God's plan by the enemy. And you begin to get pulled off of God's plan and be disobedient to God's plan, the closer you come to the light. The closer you get to Jesus, the closer you're ready to find your destiny in Christ, your ministry, the thing you've been searching for, what God wants you to do, what you're here on earth to do, what the saints in heaven have been praying for. When you start getting close to your God-given anointed destiny, man, everything will go haywire. It's when your life gets bad.
I think it's 2 John just 6.
Oh, this 2 John 6?
That
that's it. 2 John 6.
This is the commandment. As you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it.
Amen. So the enemy will pull us off of God's plan by luring us using a legion of demons, tempting us by all kinds of things that we're really attracted to. And guys and girls have different ones. And when this happens, we need to be obedient. Make sure that we recognize the voice of our shepherd and not that of a stranger. Recognize the voice of your shepherd and not that of a stranger. Keep your eyes focused on Jesus, and the reward for your obedience is that he will make himself known to you. Calling ourselves a Christian on its own won't do. Following the commandments won't do. Reading the Bible diligently won't do. We have to take the word into our hearts. When we make the transition from calling ourselves a good Christian to being someone who's having a deep and personal, intimate relationship with Christ, we can have the higher of joys, the deepest of peace, and receive the fullest measure of what God intends for us. But we have to learn, and this is very important, to recognize the voice of your shepherd and not that of a stranger. And I, for years, listened to voices of strangers because they were the...
You mean strangers, you mean...
Anybody pulling you off track. Anybody pulling you off track. And right before... This happens with me so many times. Right before God is getting ready to pull you in, right before you are about to step off on the platform to board the 747 to Maui. I mean, right when you are going to France, right when you're stepping in, for me it would be, I've waited my whole life, and I had a dream that God's going to speak to me tomorrow at noon if I go to this little place in the desert. So it would be 11 o'clock, 1 hour from when God was supposed to speak to me. And that is when Satan nails you with the biggest distraction of your life, man. You know what I mean? And it's like, this is his last chance to stick it to you before you make a leap. So we're going to go over the 6 ways to show obedience. Amen? Okay. These are the golden six, okay? That's good. If you feel that in your heart, it's because the Holy Spirit is telling you that, which is good. So, number one, you must be obedient with your heart. Not just your lips and your mouth and your tithe and all that kind of stuff. You have to be obedient with your heart. Being obedient to God with your heart simply means loving God more than anything else. I mean, if you put your personal relationships, your work and your money or your hobbies are ahead of God, then you're disobedient to Him. I'm going to throw that stupid Xbox away. I really do, because that is like a little lure, you know, that Satan's using. I mean, I could spend more time with God instead of playing that stupid game. You know what I mean? And I only play like an hour, maybe three or four times a week, but I'm just saying, you know, are worrying about work, are, you know, there's, I put other stuff ahead of my obedience to God, you know, and I need to show that with my heart. Number two, you must be obedient with your will. In order to be obedient to God with our will, we must completely dedicate ourselves to God. If we are not 100% committed to God, we are not obeying God with our will. And it's hard to do. You must be obedient with your mind. If you are not obedient with your mind, then you not only have to use your mind to make good decisions, but you also need knowledge in the first place. That means in order to be obedient to God with your mind, you must know His word. You must know Christian values and Christian principles. You must pray before you make decisions. Even though you feel that the decisions you make are in your best interest, make sure that you're hearing the voice of your shepherd and not that of a stranger.
Is that a Bible verse?
No. It's something.
What? That's just in this.
It lesson? Was something the Holy Spirit spoke to me.
Oh, okay. Sounds like a Bible verse.
It might be a Bible verse. We'll have to look at that. Okay. Number four, you must be obedient with your finances. You know, you have to understand that this money isn't money is God's money. You know, it's not our money. I have been on both sides of the economic spectrum. I mean, I have been super wealthy and I have been super poor where I own like nothing. I mean, I had a bike, you know, and a job on a boat, you know, and that was all that I had. I mean, I had a bag with clothes in it. I mean, I just, you know, I slept under bridges. I've begged for money. I've, you know, been in really bad situations for money, you know, and then I've, you know, been in situations where I never have to worry about money, but it's not our money. It's God's money. And what I have learned is when you start treating it, protecting it, spending it like it's His money and not your money, is when you really start to get super blessed. Number five, you must be obedient with your body. Obedience to God through your body means knowing what your body is capable of. Some of us have strengths because our body, you know, and we must use those strengths. We also need to take care of our bodies by protecting our bodies, you know, protecting anybody, you know, hurting our bodies or protecting, you know, or being faithful to our bodies. You know, you have to be faithful in Christ. Okay. And number six is you must be obedient with your future. We must be obedient with our future. And the only way to be obedient in the future is to prepare for it. We must dedicate ourselves to God and, you know, basically decide, you know, to service God, we will choose to be obedient. You know, obedience is costly. I mean, I'm not going to kid you, man, but, you know, it brings future blessings like you can't even imagine. You know, James says it perfectly. Let's go to James chapter 1, verse 22. James chapter 1, verse 22. You know James, chapter 1, verse... What? James is about in the middle, son. Baby girl, okay, I'm going to do it. James chapter 1, verse 22 says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Amen? Do not merely listen to the word and deceive yourselves. Do what it says. So in conclusion, okay, you guys? Obedience to God is an outward expression of your love for Him. The reward is having a personal relationship. Yes, it's costly, but there is a blessing on the way. Obedience to God is not an option for the servant of God. It's required. I mean, it's like something you just got to lay down your life for. When you obey God, it releases a power that is so powerful that you can unleash blessings that will overwhelm you and those around you. I am not kidding you. It will open up blessings and experiences for you that you never even imagined. When you're obedient to God, God protects you. It puts you under a shielding. It puts you under this protectiveness that problems bounce off of you. It's like you're protected. It's an amazing feeling when you obey God. It will open up an experience with God that the power and presence of His glory will do great and wonderful things within you. So do you guys understand what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Trying to be obedient to God?
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not easy, man. I am the worst sinner of all. You know, I can think today, I mean, I should have been obedient to God and, you know, stood righteous before Him and been a better example today to some people. You know, but we all need help and we all need, you know, to change, you know. And it's not just, you know, you or me. It's everybody. You know, it's a continual way. So let's just pray that, you know, you guys will retain this and stuff. Dear Father God, dear Lord in heaven, thank you so much, Jesus, for tonight's teaching. Lord, I pray that the word, Father God, soaks into the souls of all that came tonight, Father God. And I pray, Lord, that they're protected. And I pray, Father God, that they learn, Lord, to be obedient, Father God, to really fear you, Lord. To know that you're there, Father God. To not mess around, Father God. To put you first, Father God. To not break any rules, Father God. I thank you so much, Lord. And I pray for all of our problems, Father God. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thank you. That was good. I needed that. I totally needed that.
Okay. Sometimes the intimate ones are better, but, you know, the Holy Spirit just like...